Hello and welcome to Daily Prayer today for June 5th, 2021. Glad that you are with me. I'm Reverend Ochar. Let's go ahead and get started. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Gracious God, we give you thanks that through the gift of our baptism, you have embraced us as your own and made us one in Christ's body. By the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to nourish and strengthen us in the ways of faith, hope, and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our readings for today are Psalm 122 and 149, Deuteronomy 29:2 through 15, and 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15, as well as Luke 18, 15 through 30. Listen for God's word to speak to you. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations, and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. From Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 through 15. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. The clothes on your back have not worn out, and the sandals on your feet have not worn out. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. When you come to this place, King Shihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out against us for battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, diligently observe the words of this covenant in order that you may succeed in everything that you do. You stand assembled today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the leaders of your tribes, your elders, and your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your women, and the aliens who are in your camp, both those who cut your wood and those who draw your water, to enter into the covenant of the Lord your God, sworn by an oath which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I am making this covenant sworn by an oath, not only with you who stand here with us today before the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here with us today. 2 Reading, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Now, it is not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians came with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated. To say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that we always, having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your good generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift. And Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 30. People were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He replied, "I have kept all these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." Then Peter said, "Look, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, some great readings for today. We have Moses, and this is kind of bringing the people together again in order to tell them and getting ready to sort of remind them. This is near the end of Deuteronomy. They're just about to go into the land. And reminding them all that has happened to them and for them, right? they have seen God's glory. They have seen God's power against the mightiest empire of the world at the time, the Egyptians. They have seen God providing for them in the wilderness as they wandered around for 40 years, where their clothes didn't wear out at all for 40 years. Their sandals didn't wear out. They didn't go hungry. They had food every single day in the desert. They had water provided for them miraculously. They defeated kings who sent out armies against them, and they took their lands and gave them. Now it's part of the land that goes to the Reubenites and the tribe of Manasseh and stuff like that. That God is making a covenant with you and has sworn an oath to you that when you go into this land, you got to keep up with it. God has shown God's self to be powerful. God has shown that you will be provided for and cared for, but you gotta stick with God. That's really ultimately the plea that Moses has here in Deuteronomy. Just keep persevering. Keep being faithful. You've seen how God has been faithful. Now go with that knowledge and continue to be faithful to God. Then in 2 Corinthians, we get a little more of a glimpse of what Paul is doing here. He's sending Titus in order to sort of support this thing that the Corinthian church has said. The Corinthian church said, oh, when you get back here, we will have such a great offering for you. We'll have this wonderful gift for the people and for your ministry and for the people of Jerusalem and all of this sort of stuff. And Paul says, great, I'm so glad that you have committed to this. I'm just sending Titus just to make sure, because you said you were going to have this big, great offering, right? And you've encouraged other churches, and they have said, oh, well, if Corinth is going to give a big offering, then we're going to give a big offering. We've gotten this big offering from others, and it'd be kind of embarrassing if we showed up and you didn't have it. So we're sending Titus on ahead of time just to, you know, make sure that everything is kind of together and figured out. Because we don't want you to be embarrassed. We don't want to be embarrassed ourselves. Because God gives abundantly, but God gives according to what we put into it, right? The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, he says, right? If you just kind of half do it and don't really have anything to, you know, don't really put much emphasis or time or effort into it, well, you're not going to get much out of it, right? He wants this great gift, not only because they promised it, but also because he knows that if they put this thing together and they work together and have this big offering, then God is going to respond to that. Now we get really easily, we can slide into sort of, what is it called? Prosperity gospel, where like if you give lots of money to the church, then God's going to bless you with all sorts of monetary things. That's not really what Paul is talking about here, but more of a, you're going to get spiritually out. Sometimes it might be, you know, like monetary blessings. That's great. We love when that happens. But he's not saying, as there are some ministers around who would like to say, you know, like you just give all this money and God just wants to bless you and pour out these monetary blessings on you. That's not what he's saying here. But he's saying you need to be committed. You've made a commitment to this gift. Go ahead and give it. And I want to give you every effort. I want to give you every tool that you need in order to fulfill the thing that you have said that you would do. So there you go. Kind of like an urge when we've given a pledge, right, to the church. And there's halfway through the year sort of a, hey, remember, you have this pledge. You said that you were going to give X number, so maybe a little reminder that, you know, double check and make sure that you're up and you're being consistent with what you said that you would do, right? It's that sort of thing. And then finally, we have from Luke. First of all, there's people bringing infants and children to Jesus and the disciples turning them away. And Jesus says, no, that's my sermon illustration, you guys. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to do so like a little child with this humble faith, this just belief that God will provide for you and share with you. Just like Moses called the people to go into the land, that God is going to provide for you, right? And we as adults, we get in our own heads and we get in our own way. He's calling them to remember, you know, you just need to go with the faith like a little child. That's the way you enter the kingdom of God. Not holding onto your stuff, not getting in your own way, not getting in your own head, but just trusting that God will provide. And then we sort of move into this other encounter where this young ruler or a certain ruler comes to Jesus and says, you know, what do I need to do to earn eternal life? And first he sort of, Jesus is kind of combative here, right? He says, well, why are you calling me good? No one's good but God. Okay, sure. Okay. What do I need to do it for eternal life? What does the law say? What do the commandments say? And he recites several of them and says, I've done all of these things. Jesus says, okay, great. The only thing you need to do, you personally, we presume this is more of a personal thing, but there can be some more generalization, is you need to give your gift. You need to sell everything that you own and you need to follow me. Perhaps Jesus was seeing that this man was trying to follow, but trying to follow for all the wrong reasons, right? Trying to follow to earn eternal life, trying to follow because of X, Y, Z, whatever it is, right? Jesus says you have to lay down your own life. You have to give everything up in order to follow me. And this ruler walks away very sad. And Jesus has some stark statements, right? It's very difficult for those who are rich to get into heaven. Theologically, it's hard for any of us to get into heaven, right? That's not necessarily the issue. But those who are rich especially have a tendency, and for Luke, this is all of us who are watching this, right? The wealth that we have, the wealth of nations that we have in the 21st century North America, is unheard of in other times of time, right? In the past, the access to information, the access to water and food and transportation that we have is unheard of for the top 1% of most people throughout history. So we, as those who are rich, whether we consider ourselves rich in this time and age, we are, in fact, rich. Those who are rich can really easily get in our own way. We easily think that we have done it ourselves. Look, like the Pharisee from yesterday's parable, I have done this. I've done this and this and this. Thank you for making me not that person who's obviously terrible. We can believe our own hype. We can believe that we have done all these things by ourselves. The gospel says, no, you have not. And even if you had, it wouldn't be enough. Not that we have to continually strive and, you know, like we do a little bit, but right. But our salvation is not something that we earn. It's something that is given to us. And so Jesus says to this man, not that he has to give up all that he owns so that he will earn salvation, but so that he can realize, can completely understand that he can't do it alone. Because he has to trust at that point in the grace of God and other people to live. This is something those children know, that they can't do everything themselves. Let us join together in our prayers. Satisfy us with your love in the morning, and we will live this day in joy and praise. Give us your peace and, O God, that we may rejoice in your goodness to us and to all your children, and be thankful for your love revealed in Jesus Christ. Especially we thank you for the faithful witness of Christian people. The vast universe of galaxies and stars. Friends with whom we have shared. The courage to be bold disciples. The labors of those who have served us. People of God, for what else do we give thanks? We pray for those why questions. We also join in prayer for Lisa Longo of the Presbyterian Foundation and Ivy Lopedido of Presbyterian Mission Agency. Most powerful Creator and gracious God, be our guide. Inspire us to build unity and trust among your people. Teach us to live as you would have us live. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give us your peace, O God, that we may be confident of your care for us and all your children as we remember the needs of others. Especially we pray for Episcopal and Methodist churches, racial justice and reconciliation, those who are poor or vulnerable, agents of caring and relief, help for those who are abused or neglected. People of God, for what else do we pray? We pray for Tom, a friend of Sandy's son, who has just been diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. We pray for Joy, neighbor of Debbie's and former play school teacher, who is in the hospital and diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. For Diane and David, who are experiencing health issues. For Barbara, a friend of the church who has health issues. For Brooke, Barbara's daughter-in-law, who will be having major surgery. For Michael, Dennis's nephew in St. Louis, who has stage 4 prostate cancer and bone cancer. For Barbara, who is continuing to recover after breaking her pelvis. And for the Carter family friends of Louise, my wife. God our shepherd, you have brought us this day to a time of reflection and rest. Calm our souls and refresh us with your peace. Keep us close to Christ and draw us closer to one another and the bonds of wondrous love. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue to pray using the words that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the Lord, who is our peace, give us peace at all times in every way. Amen. Bless the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Thank you so much for joining me today for daily prayer. Join me tomorrow for some more. Like this video, share it with someone else, click on the subscription and the notification button, as well as going to our website, johncalvinchurch.org. Join us for Mary's husband's memorial service will be later today. That will be, the service will be at 10 o'clock. So join us for that as well. And tomorrow we will have worship at 10:30, as well as Sunday school beforehand. And an email will go out about Sunday school. Our liturgy today came from the Book of Common Worship of the Presbyterian Church USA, 2018 edition. Our readings came from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And our devotion came from the Mission Yearbook of the PCUSA. Thank you for joining me. Have a very blessed day, and we'll see you next time.